You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
FireEye sees better Chinese international citizenship in cyberspace, at least with respect to the U.S. CrowdStrike is joined by Mandiant and Fidelis in attributing the DNC hack to Russian actors. Motherboard interviews Guccifer 2.0, whoever he may be. A bad Santa delivers ransomware to his naughty list. Researchers find real and apparent fish bait. The U.S. General Services Administration moves to facilitate cyber contracting. The U.S. Secret Service wants cyber triage tools, and it wants them pronto. Israel relaxes some cyber export controls, and Wassenaar reconvenes this week. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, June 21st, 2016. FireEye reports that the Sino-American cyber talks seem to be having good effect. The security company says that Chinese government cyber espionage directed at the United States appears to have fallen off dramatically. That's not the case elsewhere. Some of the Chinese espionage units formerly employed against American targets are showing up in campaigns directed at other countries, notably Russia, and other target sets, notably in the financial sector. Turning to the week's continuing big story, the successful hack of the Democratic National Committee, CrowdStrike is standing by its attribution of the incident to two Russian government actors, APT-28 and APT-29, in all likelihood the FSB and the GRU. Two other companies, Fidelis and FireEye's Mandiant unit, have investigated the evidence and reach essentially the same conclusion. The malicious code found in the attack is substantially similar to that used in other attacks by Russian actors. Against this conclusion, of course, are claims of responsibility by Guccifer 2.0, whom we can now refer to as him. Someone representing himself as Guccifer 2.0 has been in touch with Motherboard. While many observers regard Guccifer 2.0 as a front for the Russian government, that's not so, the gentleman in question tells Motherboard. In fact, he not only doesn't work for a Russian intelligence service, he doesn't even like Russia. What he does like include, in no particular order, Gucci, Marcel Lazar, who's Guccifer 1.0, now in U.S. custody, women, and the Freedom of Minds. Guccifer 2.0's exchanges with Motherboard were conducted at least partially in Romanian, and Motherboard says the Romanian native speakers it consulted say 2.0's Romanian isn't really that good. 2.0 did claim his heuristic algorithms were too much for the DNC security, that the Russian stuff in the stolen documents metadata was his personal watermark, that he feared for his life, and that he wanted to fight for the world without the Illuminati. Motherboard's tone throughout its account of the exchange strikes our staff as one of polite but open-minded skepticism. We did talk to someone with first-hand knowledge of the investigation, Fidelis Vice President of Cybersecurity Services, Mike Buratowski. Here's his take on the affair.
Some of the stuff that really stood out to us was the complexity and almost grace, if you will, or the elegance of the malware that was there. It was very complex, had a substantial amount of information in there that your normal script kiddie or low-end hacker really wouldn't put in or take the time to really finesse, if you will.
So what about Guccifer 2.0, the online entity claiming credit for the attack?
It's a little hard to say. I find it intriguing that this person just came on the scene shortly after CrowdStrike reported on the actual malware, so it kind of makes you wonder about the motivations. Now, that being said, when we do investigations, it's not uncommon for there to be multiple actors in a particular victimized company. You may trace a vector back to a particular strain of malware, a particular point of entry. However, you find multiple points of entries, and a lot of times the malicious actors don't even know that there's other bad guys in the victimized network.
Guccifer 2.0 says that they are a lone wolf in this attack and that CrowdStrike's attribution to Russian intelligence agencies is incorrect. Buratowski and his team at Fidelis say, not so fast.
When you look at the totality of the circumstances, you're looking at the targeted victims, what information was stolen, what was done with the information after it was taken. And when you start doing that, it paints a picture of probability as to who the actor could be. And then something as simple as, well, how complex is the malware? And would an average person or an average group have the capabilities to be that elegant, if you will, in their development of the malware? And when you start putting all those things together, in this particular case, it definitely points back to a state-sponsored actor, likely being a Russian actor. So again, pointing to a specific agency, there's nothing that would cause me to believe that CrowdStrike is incorrect, that's for sure.
After the DNC's opposition research on Donald Trump was released, the head of the DNC announced that there was no personally identifiable information included in the hack, which prompted Guccifer 2.0 to release personally identifiable information in the form of donor information. Buratowski warns that there's a good chance there's still more to come.
Based on the complexity of the malware that was there, I think there's a fair possibility that there's a substantial amount of information that was taken. I think it's to be determined, but I definitely would not be surprised if we see a lot more information come out as the campaigns progress.
That's Mike Buratowski. He's Senior VP of Cybersecurity Services at Fidelis. We also sat down with the CyberWire's editor, John Petrick, for some perspective on false flags and attribution. We'll hear from him after the break. So ransomware continues its evolution. Dyad Kryptor, an EDA 2 strain, is out, as we've heard, courtesy, apparently, of the Russian cyber mob. Sophos Labs are reporting, through Dark Reading, that a new variety of JavaScript ransomware, RAA, is out. It's a departure from the familiar extortion norm in that being composed in JavaScript, it doesn't depend upon the victims running a macro for infection. Phishing is, of course, a common way of distributing malware, ransomware, and other malicious code. Apple users are currently being phished with a credential-stealing malware packaged in an email alerting them to a virus in the iTunes database. There's no such virus, but if you bite on the fish bait, you may cough up your Apple ID. An email that looks like fish bait but is actually legitimate is circulating from LogMeIn, which is asking some customers to reset their passwords in the wake of the recent credential leaks from LinkedIn, MySpace, and others. See the accounts in HelpNet Security and the Internet Storm Center for notes on what makes legitimate communication with customers look fishy. Xdedic, the underground market that sold server time on compromised RDP servers, may be larger than initially believed. Kaspersky sees some evidence from data released on Pastebin that Canadian and German servers joined Brazil, China, the U.S., and the U.K. in the top 10. But these indicators await confirmation in further investigation. In industry news, the U.S. General Services Administration's efforts to create a new special item number for cybersecurity products, an SIN, in its IT schedule are being regarded skeptically by industry. The GSA's schedules are designed to facilitate purchases of common products and services government-wide, but some observers are dubious that the GSA will be able to keep pace with the rapid evolution of technology in the field. The U.S. Secret Service wants a quick turnaround on its own solicitation for cyber triage tools. They want tools that can be rapidly deployed for network remediation. The Secret Service hopes to issue 30 awards in each of two pools, single user licenses and malware scanning services. Contracts are expected to have one-year periods of performance. The Israeli government, whose Unit 8200 has incubated a number of security startups, has moved to relax some of its controls on cyber exports. Internationally, Wassenaar is back. Meetings resumed in Vienna yesterday on revising the controversial and in the U.S. delayed cyber arms export control regime. This round of talks will conclude tomorrow. Another round of negotiations is scheduled for September, leading up to a planned December plenary session in which the parties hope to reach final agreement. And finally, Guccifer 2.0, please feel free to come visit us. We promise there are no Illuminati here. Not much Gucci either, alas, but we hope you can overlook that. And when you come, will you bring Satoshi Nakamoto with you? We'll leave the light on.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me once again is John Petrick. He's the editor of the CyberWire. John, we're continuing to follow this story about the hacking into the DNC. How would you categorize this? Is this a false flag situation with the Russians or covert operations? How do we label this one?
There are three companies that have been investigating this. CrowdStrike is the first. They've since been joined by Fidelis and Mandiant. And CrowdStrike's conclusion, which has been echoed by the other two, is that the hack of the DNC is really a job by the Russian intelligence services, by both the FSB and GRU, possibly. So people are wondering if this is so because there's this guy calling himself, herself, themselves, Guccifer 2.0 that says, it's me, I did it, I'm a lone hacker, I hacked the DNC for my own purposes, CrowdStrike doesn't know what they're talking about, there's no Russian involvement whatsoever. So other people have been saying, and CrowdStrike has suggested this too, is that Guccifer is a false flag. That is, Guccifer is really just a front for Russian intelligence services, that is, for the FSB and the GRU. So what's a false flag? Literally, a false flag operation is when one country conducts some sort of combat operation or demonstration purporting to be members of another country, either a targeted country or an uninvolved country. It comes from the days of sail when you might raise somebody else's flag on your warship to deceive the quarry you're approaching. Mm. I don't know if this is really a false flag operation. It's a case of the assumption of a false identity, if that's what it turns out to be.
Speaking of false identities, what are some examples of that? What are other false identities people assume?
Well, some of it comes down to a form of branding or even criminal branding. There's, for example, there's a new ransomware campaign that's come to light this week. It's being called Dead Cryptor. That roughly is Russian for Grandpa Encryptor. And it's a riff on the Russian Santa Claus. They've got a bad Santa logo and everything associated with the ransomware that pops up on your screen. So because we're a family show, maybe it's worth saying this to any of the children who listen to us in Chelyabinsk or Krasnodar or Yekaterinburg. Ded Moroz is still okay. Santa's okay. Ded Moroz dobry, a Ded Kryptor on yet.
Wow, John, your Russian's pretty good. People are going to start to talk.
You know, the GRU does have its false flags, doesn't it?
There you go. Okay. Thanks for joining us, as always. Yeah.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.